All right, victory over anxiety. Victory over anxiety. We continue here through Matthew chapter 6. I've been reading this book to my kiddos. This is kind of what we're going through now. I haven't made it through much of it, but this is kind of a shorter version of a longer autobiography of John Payton, one of my favorite books. Missionary to the New Hebrides from Scotland. As a young man, he left a promising career in a church parish in Scotland, and others actually tried to persuade him not to do this. It was financially a bad decision, and there was also this idea of safety. 20 years earlier, someone had, in a similar area where he was going, someone had actually been murdered and cannibalized, and so he was discouraged from doing that. Even one of his seminary professors, Mr. Dixon, said, "Do not." He exploded. "The cannibals! You'll be eaten by cannibals! What are you doing? Right, throwing your life away here." I love Payton's response. "Mr. Dixon, you're advanced in years now. Your own prospect is soon to be laid in the grave, there to be eaten by worms. I confess to you that if I can but live and die serving and honoring the Lord Jesus, it will make no difference to me whether I'm eaten by cannibals or by worms. And in the great day, my resurrection body will raise as fair as yours in the likeness of our risen Redeemer." He took his seminary professor to school there because he had an eternal perspective. Life is not just about the here and now. Life is the doorstep from which we enter real life. And what we give ourselves to on this doorstep does affect that next eternal life that we enter before too long. And so this would be one of the primary principles we learned last time as we considered God's care for us. Principle one, don't worry about this life. Worry yourself about eternal life. Be concerned, be careful, full of care about the next life. Recognize that there are bigger principles there. And so we saw this as the first principle from verse 24. No one can serve two masters, Jesus says. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Recognize the fact that there's pull on you from, we say, naturalistic expectations, commercialism, humanism, everything of the here and now, to just be devoted to that. And Jesus says, but there's a whole lot more than that to live for that you can't see, right? The rest of the iceberg under the water. Principle two, don't worry because, and this is what we looked at last time, because God cares for you. Your Heavenly Father cares for you. And that will recur as we consider the principles today. But don't worry about these things because God is able to worry about them for you. Look at the birds of the air, right? Listen to them. They don't sow. They don't reap or gather into barns. And yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. If He feeds the birds, He's going to take care of you as well. The argument from lesser to greater. If He takes care of the lesser, He's going to take care of the greater. And your soul is infinitely important. Okay, so that's what he's referring to here. We looked at that last time, and I'm just going to do this real quick. We're not going to get into all of this, but you remember the yellow highlights all the one word care, anxiety, worry. That's all one word. So it's the primary theme here. Jesus is asking us questions to help us to think about why we're worried. Biggest section has to do with the Father's care, right? This first paragraph. Combat worry through understanding that God cares for you. Today we're going to get through verses 31, Lord willing, to verse 34. We recognize that we can combat worry in our lives or anxiety by pursuing the Father's causes. Or you could really say seeking the Father's causes, because there's two primary words here in this text. Those word texts, the words seek. Instead of worrying about your own things, start seeking, pursuing things of your Father. So we're going to say, pursue your Father's causes. we'll find here that as he talks about seeking, let's just look at that for just a moment. The first seek is what you are not supposed to seek, right? You see that there, verse 34, is it? I need glasses, I guess. I lost my glasses 12 years ago. You find them, let me know. Gentiles seek these things, right? So he's saying, don't seek those things. So this is what we're not to seek as kingdom citizens. But instead, and then this is a verse that's on t-shirts and plaques, and perhaps it's your life verse. But instead, seek first the kingdom of God. All right, so today is all about what we're to seek, what we're to pursue, and that actually helps our anxiety and our worry as we unpack it here. So let's begin here with the first verse, what we should not seek. What are God's causes, and actually what we're not to seek? Do not worry then about what we will eat or what we will drink or what we will wear for clothing. This opening command of verse 31 is very clear. Do not worry, right? This is actually the second of three times that he commands this. And so in my Bible, I don't know if you do this in your Bible or in my Bible, I underlined those real dark, I guess, in black pen. But just so I know, verse 25, he says, do not worry. Verse 31, he says, do not worry. And verse 34, he says, do not worry. All right, so those are three big commands. And that kind of bookends our two major sections here. Do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. So here's the command. Don't worry. Are you worried today? All right, Jesus says, don't worry. Looked at last week what that word means. Anybody remember what it meant? The worry or anxious? What was the picture that we looked at that kind of the original language pulls out, pun intended. It's being pulled, right? The idea is being pulled in many directions. And this is what worry does, right? I have this concern that's pulling me for 80 hours a week at work. I have this concern that's pulling me for 40 hours a week at my family. I have this pull that I have all my hobbies that pull me about 120 hours a week, right? So you have all these pulls and you run out of hours. You really run out of life, right? But you have all these pulls, and that's where anxiety comes from. I'm pulled by this care, I'm pulled by this care, I'm pulled. So I'm being pulled in all these directions. What Jesus is saying, don't be pulled the wrong way. Recognize that the reason you're so concerned about that is because it's pulling you that way. And you're thinking about it nonstop, and you're obsessed with it nonstop. And he's like, be careful about what's pulling your mind. Don't be pulled by the wrong things. And so he's saying, listen, there's some good things to be concerned about, but there's a line in which you cross and it becomes sinful to be obsessed. And so we're going to kind of tease out what that would look like today. Being pulled is okay in the right direction to the right amount, but you end up in this tug of war being pulled over the line and you end up getting muddy. Well, what does the worrier ask? Right? What is the command? Do not worry. Don't worry then, I should say, we'll keep moving. And then what does he ask? He says, what will he eat? What will he drink? What will he wear for clothing? This is what the person who's worried asks. They're just focused on the here and now. Instead of recognizing the fact that God has all of that taken care of. He knows my needs. And so he's encouraging us to trust the Lord with all of those. Well, why is that? So there's the opening command. And now he's going to tell us why. Jesus does this. He gives us the four, right? Four, right? So he's going to say, this is why. Right, Tim, why should I not be anxious? Why should I not be worried about my clothing? Why should I not be worried about all these pressures that are pulling me? Well, look at what Jesus says. Try to let this sink in, okay? I realize we've been going here, but this is so important if we get our minds around this. Verse 32, I'm just going to put it this way, right up front, and then we'll walk through it. Not seeking the Lord in this way is the life of an atheist. If you start living the anxious life, you're actually living as a practical atheist. is what Jesus is saying. You might say you're a Christian. You might say, well, I prayed a prayer when I was six. But actually, you're living the life of an atheist if you're living a life of worry. That's what Jesus is saying. For, don't worry about these things, for the Gentiles eagerly seek for these things. The Gentiles. Let's just take a minute with these. The Gentiles. Well, how many of you are Gentiles? Raise your hand. Right. We had one Jewish man I know that shared scripture reading today. But most of us are Gentiles, right? Gentiles just not Jewish. You weren't born Jewish from the tribe of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, one of the 12 tribes. Well, what does that mean in their culture, right? We sit down on the hillside with Jesus and he says, don't be like a Gentile. Is that going to offend them? Right? Don't be like a Gentile. What are their minds getting here? No, they're all Jewish, first of all. Isn't that interesting? At this point in Matthew's gospel, Jesus is just talking to Jewish people. In fact, Matthew 10, this word Gentile, ethnos, comes up like, I think, almost 20 times, if I remember. It's not coming to my brain. 17 times, I think I remember. In this gospel, more than any other of the gospels. Right? So Matthew talks about it a lot. And they're in big cases. Matthew 10, Jesus says, don't go to the Gentiles and preach my kingdom. Can you believe that? How does he end Matthew? Somebody tell me. Go to the ethnos. And he uses the same word. Go to the nations. Right? So that's where he's going with this nations theme. But at this point, a lot of his speech is like to Jewish people, about Jewish people. And so when he says, don't act like a Gentile, what he's saying is don't act like a non-religious unbeliever. Don't be secular in your mindset. Don't live like a secular world around you. Everyone else around you is living for the here and now, is committed to just putting food on the table. You're not to live that way. The Gentiles, what do? They eagerly seek, right? And so it's not just that they're searching. There's a strong, this is an intense word. They eagerly seek. Like, this is what they're totally committed to you. And you know that at work, right? Monday, you're going to be surrounded by people that, like, their career is everything. And if you try to get in their way, what are they going to do? They're going to steamroll you. This is our world. This is historic New York City, right? This is what we're known for. Commerce is everything. Climbing the corporate ladder is everything. And they'll just step on you as they go up the ladder. Eagerly seek. It's actually used of Herod when he's looking for Peter, who God rescued out of prison. He's eagerly seeking him. And the prisoners that actually allowed Peter to escape, he executes. Right, this is the eagerly, like, that's the kind of tenacity that this word brings up, evokes. This is what the Gentiles do. The Gentiles eagerly seek, what do they seek? All things. All these things, right? They're just, like, they're all about the things. What can I have for myself? Food, lodging, all right? I just was been around the Manhattan, this silly triathlon. We did filming all day Friday, everywhere around, and it was just amazing, this beautiful city. I love it. But you could just see, wow. All right, top floor, I think on the 57th Street, Dell owns it. Wasn't it like $100 million the family paid for that top floor? It's like that. You got to eagerly seek having lodging that's $100 million. Now, that's one way. He's saying the Gentiles live this way. They're seeking for all these things. It's like that, just one mind focused just on me. But you're not that way. Instead, what are you? In contrast to that, your Heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. Right, so you can be saying, I've got to take care of myself, I got to take care of myself, I got to take care of myself, no one else is going to. And just be totally committed to that all your life. You know what that's going to do? It's going to make you very anxious. But if you can switch to where you're still working hard, you're taking care of your responsibilities, Jesus is not saying become lazy, you're taking care of your responsibilities, but the mindset is this, God's going to get all of it. He's going to take care of all of it. I just need to be working doing my part and leave the rest in his hands. And this is a totally different viewpoint. The idea of a heavenly Father. There is a God and he's real and he's made me. We just sang to him. We just prayed to him and we're listening to his word. This is a different way to look at life. Right, Jesus is saying this is totally different. You have a heavenly Father that knows your needs. Total game changer. We live in a different world than those around us. This is a different view of the world, right? What would that be called? A different worldview. Yeah. A different way to look at the world is a different worldview. This is a different way to think, a different perspective. It's a different mindset. My mind is set differently to think differently. Once I change to the understanding that there's God and he's my Father. The Bible often talks about this in terms of coming out of the night into the light. Coming out of darkness into light. I'm just going to wish we could take some more time with this. But we're born dim to the light. And so Ephesians talks about being spiritually darkened. Verse 17, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord that you no longer walk as the Gentiles. Again, that idea. Who walk in the futility of this. So there's a mindset that is futile, darkened in understanding. That inside the lights haven't turned on to spiritual realities. That's the way we're born. But it gets worse. We're born that way. We have an understanding of God, but not this relationship with God as Father through Jesus Christ. So we can rebel against the light we see in general revelation and all that's around me, and we can actually become hardened. The dimness becomes hardened. Paul talks about that in Romans 1. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, what would they be? Well, his eternal power and his divinity are clearly seen. And so we're born that way. I have this loose understanding that there must be something out there greater than me. Everyone's born with that. Lucian's born with that understanding, right? He has some sense that Jamal's bigger than him. But also beyond that, as he grows, he'll find out, you know what? There's something else did this. Right? If I see a watch on the ground, I recognize that, you know, there's something did that. The complexity of my eye, just like the complexity of the iPhone, the complexity of your eye is amazing. It's like somebody did that. There was some manufacturer. And so we're born with that. But people resist that. And so the light of the gospel comes and you either resist it or you receive it. And based on what you do with that general revelation light shows whether you go from darkened to actually hardened in your heart. Or become a child. Let me just read this real quick and we'll move on. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God. So they're rejecting that beautiful creation around them. Rejecting God and their foolish hearts darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. They exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image of corruptible man. They start worshiping their jobs themselves, or idols, the typical idols that you would think of, even family, even good things we can worship. Therefore, verse 24, God gave them over to the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God to a lie, worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator. So this idea of God, they reject that, and they worship other things. And the dimness becomes hardenedness. So today, you're either at this point where you're just hearing or seeing around you and saying, I wonder if there's a God, right? That kind of our natural. And then you hear the gospel that God loves you. He sent his son to be with you, to know you, that you might know him. And when you hear that message, you're either going to receive it. And your eyes are open to this fact that I'm in a family. God loves me. I need to pursue his interests. Or you reject it. And you actually become more hard and calloused to the idea of God. So let's bring this back to what Jesus is saying. Are you living like which one of these? When something happens in your life, when you lose your job, this is what Jesus is saying. When you lose your job, are you acting like someone, just be honest with yourself, someone that says there's no God at all? Like, the way you respond to that shows that you don't believe in God at times. Are you saying there's no God at all? Are you saying, well, maybe there's a God out there, I just don't know him? Or are you actually a Christian, born again, that's able to say, okay, this is hard. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I have a father. I'm a child. I'm a son or daughter in the family, and my family is going to take care of me. My father is going to take care of me. That's what Jesus is saying. What you do in difficult circumstances determines your theology, whether you're a practical atheist or not. What about when there's a pandemic? Right? The response of your heart shows, right? Am I just saying, oh no, there's no way I'm going to get out of this, right? I realize there's difficulty there. I'm not making light of that, but I'm just saying, if you're a child of God, you can say, okay, this is stressful. I don't like this. I don't like what this is happening in our society. I don't like what this is doing to people. But you know what? It's okay, because I can rest in God as my Father. And he knows all the ins and outs of it. All right, you see that? You see where it takes away the knife of these things. These are difficult things, but it takes away the most difficult part of it because I have a father. What about when you lose your phone? Let's just go to something even smaller, right? Even that, where do I turn? I'm like, oh, and I'm just getting so frustrated, or I immediately start talking to my father. The other day, I lost my wallet. Friday, I lost my wallet. I shouldn't say this, but I left it in a bathroom in the middle of the city. And I'm gone, and I'm looking all over for it. And immediately, my mind has to be going, Father, where is it? And I'm starting to talk to my father. That's just the way we have to live every day. And it was somehow, 30 minutes later, was still on the floor in that bathroom. And so we're going back. My father took care of it. Now, this is not meaning we're supposed to be dumb and leave our wallets everywhere. I'm just saying, this is the mindset is I could be either be totally stressed out about that and pull my hair out, or I could say, Father, you got this. I'm so sorry. I've been so silly about this. I'm not taking care of the stuff you've given me. Right, and so I'm talking like that to the Lord. I'm just owning it. I'm saying, please take care of me. This is understanding that I have a father. I have a father in heaven. And my priority is to be seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. And so we do need to get to that. I don't know that we have time to finish it, but I think we have at least time to start it, okay? This, again, is one of these life verses. And so if we take 2 weeks on this, that's okay. All right, can we do that if we can? This is just one of those things that, again, it would be good for us all to memorize this. So remind me that next week, okay? Let's try to keep at least reciting it together. But how many of you have this memorized? Anybody have this memorized? You probably sing it. Seek ye first the... Okay, so we're going to sing that in just a minute. But this is such an important passage because now he's going to say, Jesus does this. He doesn't say, don't do that, don't do that, do that. He helps replace it, right? So, like, you're just having a hard time getting rid of this XYZ part of your old life that you really was a big part of you, and yet you know it was destructive. And you've come to Christ and the new family. He's going to give you something that even better to replace it. So don't worry about putting off the old. All right, so let's look at the seeking life then. That was the non-seeking life, verse 31, 32. Let's look at 33 and 34, and we'll just get to the first few words. That's fine. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And then this real practical principles, verse 34, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That is so true. Don't worry about next 5 years down the road. Prepare, plan. But you know what? You got enough to deal with today to be worried about. couple quick questions that this text answers. What is the action? What do we seek? And what is the result? So important, what is the result? We haven't dealt with that at all yet. And we can get the wrong perspective if we lose any of these phrases. Because look, he's going to say all these things are going to be added to you. It's not that you become, go into a monastery and don't worry about anything. Jesus is going to bring that back to us, okay? So first of all, what is the action? But seek, okay, so it's the same thing as the other one, but seek what? What is it? Seek, right? Seek the kingdom, we'll get to that, but what's the word right after seek? Seek first, right? So seek first priority would be the idea. So like you have this whole list of to-dos. What you need to make sure is right on the top of your to-do list is the things of the kingdom. Seek first, of first importance, of primary importance. And so you just go back to the idea of all these things pulling you. No matter what, the rest of your life, even if you become independently wealthy, even if you have whatever, you're always going to have things pulling you. So you have to say, which one am I going to allow pull my attention most? He's saying, first puller. In fact, all the pulling has to come under this main pulling head. Seek first, of first priority, of primary importance is this. And then what do we seek? Right, as you mentioned, but seek first what? His kingdom and his righteousness. That's what we're supposed to be seeking. His kingdom and his righteousness. And so let's just get through that and we'll be done. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. What does that entail? Right? So this is this is the most important lesson about worry. This is the most important lesson about anxiety. Right? When I get anxious, I get anxious. When I get anxious, I have to take first this. Am I seeking his kingdom and his righteousness? And if I could just kind of hash that out in a very practical way, what would it be to be seeking God's kingdom? First of all, that would be seeking him as king. Knowing the king. This is the most important part. As I know the king, all the rest just fades away. If I'm walking with the king, all the rest fades away. I mean, if you're walking down the street with a king of the universe, that person cutting you off in line, that person aggravating you at work, whatever is troubling you is so much less if you know the king and you're walking with the king. So first of all, I need to be walking with the king. As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. And so when our heart, our life has to be full of God. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. The children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They drink their fill of the abundance of your house. You give them to drink of the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. You see, as I'm filled with this joy in God, and my refuge is in him in the shadow of his wings, then I can be, like the psalmist says, the child with the mother. Right? Just totally happy. Totally content now that the dad's not holding the baby. Right? Jamal just gave Lucian to Kate. So, but that's actually a beautiful picture, because that's right from the Psalms. David says, I'm just like an infant held by the mother. Like, I'm just not concerned at all now. This is mentally where we go when we get in tune with who God is. I'm at rest. I found rest. I've been working many, many, many hours these last few weeks, and I knew we'd have to. But you know what? Rest doesn't come from 2 days off. Rest doesn't come from taking a vacation. You know that. Sometimes vacations are more hassle than... You know where rest comes? It comes from being on your face in the presence of God, knowing him as your creator king. If you haven't found that rest yet as a Christian, then you really haven't tapped into a huge part of Christianity. And this is what I say. I have to do this. I do get anxious as a person. I can get overwhelmed. Personally, I'm just opening up. I can do that. Each week, I struggle with that. And you know what I have to do? I have to take 30 minutes or even just 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and I have to get on my face. And I have to meditate on who God is. Not meditate on silence. That doesn't help me at all. I fall asleep. I have to meditate on who God is. I have to pray quietly. I have to be still and know that He is God. And when I do that, the pressure's gone. The stress is gone. So very practically, this is what I would do. Stillness, quietness. Even when there's noise around you, you have to just go inside your heart and come to the King and say, "You are King." And you're just praying to God. You're in control. You've got this. You've made all this. You've upholding all this. You know this trial. You know my end from my beginning. You know how many days I will live. You know all the birds. You know all the flowers. You take care of me all the way to this point. And I just start talking about the greatness of God to Him. If you've never done that, let me encourage you to do that. As you do that, right, it just, the worry just starts to melt. This is the difference between Martha and Mary. Martha was troubled about all that she needed to do. What was Mary doing? At Jesus' feet, listening to Him. And so we just need to get at Jesus' feet and let, just start seeking the King. Just start seeking the King, and all these things will be added to you. Recognizing that Jesus is sovereign, He is King, His Father's kingdom will prosper, and I can rest in His control over all things. We better be done. We're going to get to next week and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But let me encourage you to do that just now. Let's all do that, right? This would be very practical if we ended right here halfway through and just took a moment to do this, okay? In the quietness of this moment, try that, would you? Would you just really practically try that? Maybe you've never talked to God. He's wanting to hear from you. He made you. He made you special. He sent His Son to die for you. And He wants to listen to you. You don't have to be real formal or odd in your prayers. He just wants you to talk to Him as you would talk to your best friend. Because you're coming through Jesus, His Son, and He loves you in Christ. So in the quietness of this moment, before we all sing, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," let's just take a minute to pray. And whatever you've brought into this room that was weighing you down, that was making you anxious, that was worrying you, would you talk to God about that even now, in the quietness of this moment? In just a minute, Dominic, if you could just pray, and then we'll sing, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." I'll be standing in the back lobby. If you would like to pray with someone, I'll be standing back there. I'd be happy to pray with you about something that's pressuring your heart. But it'd be good just to talk straight to God about it. If you don't know Him as your Savior and Lord, then please, through Christ's gospel, accept Him as Savior. Say, "I believe that You died, Jesus, to save me from my sin, the penalty of my sin." Receive Him as your Savior even now. And then bring your care to Him. Talk to Him about that trial in the quietness of this moment. In just a minute, Dominic will close us in prayer and we'll sing a song. Let's pray.